Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
Opportunity to share with you last year, spoken word artists, as well as poets, as well as authors, we tried to do it. This show is designed to provide an outlet for people to voice their poetic spirit. And it's a beautiful thing when you're able to voice your poetic spirit. Now, we're part of the DC Poetry Project. Again, the DC Poetry Project is located in Washington, D.C., and our organization now has almost 850 people in it. We're a meetup group. We're also a nonprofit organization, and one of our missions is to work with the community as well as build partnerships in terms of organizations in the community. But the most important thing is to provide individuals and groups with spoken word-related opportunities. That's real important to us. We need to speak. We need to share. We need to show the world who we are. And sometimes lifting your voice can be very, very difficult. But when you've got good people around you, solid people around you, people who care about you, people who love you, people who want you to be your best, it makes it a lot easier. So again, my name is Michael Anthony Ingram. This is the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project show. Now, there are going to be a number of people joining us tonight, either on the air or from afar. There are going to be people joining us from different countries. That is correct. We've got representatives from Sweden, Hungary, France, Germany, and Zimbabwe. Yes, we, the Power of Poetics, we are an international channel, and what we try to do is to promote and share works with people from around the world. That's one of our major goals. Now, what I'd like to do to begin, before we open the lines, is to recite a piece that was written 28 years ago. It's my very first piece. Prior to this, I had never written a poem before, maybe one time at the age of 12. There was something in me that was stirring, that was moving around, that needed to be expressed, and it's often very difficult to find a forum, especially when you're a grown man, to be able to just breathe through words, to use words as a way of being open and honest and just pure energy. Your essence is in the air. So this piece, my very first piece, and I've never read it on the air, it's called Rise But Remember. Struggle has often had us mired like an anchor fathoms beneath the sea. Chaos has often had us bound and tied like a chain firmly against a tree. But when we rise, we soar like a phoenix on glittering wings, for we know that we possess the strength to do all things. But when we rise, we sail off the shoulders of giants, Malcolm, Martin, and Sojourner, giants who paved the way for us to sail so majestically this very day. But when we rise, off comes the shackles of indifference and intolerance that in the past it has so tragically torn. Now that we rise, we can see tomorrow, and she's as bright as a day can be. Her beauty has blessed us with the knowledge, the wisdom, and the foresight to see that as we rise, we do so not alone. For on these wings of glittering gold also rise our ancestors, a people both strong and bold. Well, I was a little nervous. I was a little nervous 25 years ago, 27 years ago. I was a little nervous tonight sharing that. But this is our forum. I'm going to open up the lines, and we're going to do this thing. The DC Poetry Project's second year, our new season, we're on the air. Area code 703-541. You're on the air. Are you there? Try this person. Area code 301-7110. You're on the air.
Oh, I'm 301.
You're 301.
Yeah, I'm not seven. I when you said 703, I thought it was somebody else.
Are you 703 and 301?
No, I'm just 301.
All right. Well, there's someone on the air of 703, and they're waiting to participate, or they're just waiting here to listen. So keep listening. Area code 256, you're on the air.
Hey.
Hello, sir. Hello, sir. Let's go with another one. Hold on.
Hey, I'm here.
All right. Fantastic. Area code 858, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Koki.
Hello, Koki. Koki, fantastic. You're with us again. And there's one more. One more. Okay. All right. Area code 859, you're on the air. Area code 859.
Hey, Michael, it's Brenda.
Hello, Brenda. Hello, Brenda. Wow, you're on the air. Fantastic. Well, what we're going to do, as we always do, is take a short musical break. We'll be right back, and then we'll have an opportunity to go into the poetic mode. Thank you. This is the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. The guest call-in number is 646-716-8754. All right. We are back. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and this is the Power of Poetics. It's an opportunity for us, again, to celebrate words, celebrate our talent, and revel and applaud those people who stand up, put themselves out there, sometimes alone. But again, not always an opportunity for you to share your work with other people. It's most important to be able to self-express in a way that you're able to share your truth, even if it's by yourself. That's okay. That's okay. Just sharing your truth is the most important thing. So we have a number of people on the line, and actually we send out information to thousands about this show because we want people to know that we're out here, that we're trying to do good things. So what I'd like to do is start. All right. Are there some poets in the house? All right. Mary Ann.
Hi. Hi.
Hello.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you very much. Would you like to share a piece of poetry?
Sure.
All right.
This month I am having a print chapbook come out, so I'd like to share actually the first poem from that series.
All right.
Yep. And it is based on a DC Poetry Project prompt. I remember, you know, a while back you wanted us to write on empathy.
Okay.
You know, and actually I think the line was, "I dream of empathy."
Wow. I remember.
Yeah, yeah. And about that time, I went to the American Art Museum, and I saw this photograph. At daylight, the miserable man was carried to an oak. It's from the series Searching for California Hang Trees by Ken Gonzalez Day, and the photo was taken in 2007. Okay. I dream of empathy. But I wake up to a photograph of a hang tree. Years later, in California, the tree still stands, with its silver-white bark wise body hair of moss and branches flung against a paper-white sky. The photograph on the wall reminds me of my days in Oregon, ticking off the madrone, the chinkapin, even the sequoia in a yard, all on my list of everything not seen in the eastern city's mosaic of maple and spruce. Like the tree in the picture, I didn't think. I didn't think in Oregon. I didn't think years later when I bought the photograph of a hang tree. I am thinking now.
It's Marianne, everybody. Marianne, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What does empathy mean to you? Can you define it in words?
Empathy means, you know, feeling for other people, feeling for their problems, feeling for their situations, you know, recognizing that they're different from yours and, you know, nevertheless feeling for them, feeling concern for them.
I agree. One of the things that I've often talked about is that empathy is an opportunity for two people to, again, to come together. And you may not understand the other person's story, per se, but if you listen to the feelings that are with their story, because there's a universal commonality in terms of our feelings, and that provides a bridge in terms of building empathy in a relationship. That's what I believe, anyway. So that's a beautiful piece. Any comments from anyone for Marianne's work? Marianne, you set the stage. All right, Gary, would you like to go next?
Hello?
Yes. Would you like to go
what?
Next? Would you like to go next?
I'm having some technical difficulties.
Okay, hold on, man. That'll be fine. All right. Let's see, Brenda, would you like to go next?
Sure, Michael. I'm just
Thank
so
you.
Happy that you continue to provide this, the various venues and outlets for us as poets and people who appreciate poetry to express themselves. And Marianne, I did enjoy that piece on empathy. I always enjoy what you bring to the table with your writing and different things like that. So I didn't not want to not say it. Sorry, I kind of was sipping on a little glass of wine right there when you asked the question. Because, I mean, you can sit back in your pajamas and drink wine and do this. It's so cool. So that's kind of what I didn't want to choke, so that's why I didn't respond.
Yeah, that
right,
reminds
Brenda,
me. I'm going to go get some water.
You're talking too much. All right, read your poem. Read your poem. Just stay on top.
So about a week and a half ago, a couple of weeks, I had an opportunity to go to the Great Blacks and Wax Wax Museum in Baltimore. And they, in the basement of that building, they have a recreation of the Middle Passage. And I was just thinking about how, I don't know if you've ever heard the poem called Incident by County Cullen, where he talked about his experience in Baltimore as well as what recently has happened in Baltimore with the incident with Freddie Gray and the people who are protesting and then the focus on the riots. And just so much of it has historical implications and ramifications. I just can't even say enough about it. But I wrote this poem some time ago. And so I just felt like this is the poem I'm just feeling at this particular moment. So it's called To the African Locked Inside the American. I know the African stood on the sands of his land, and he breathed freedom once. He resonates in the drumbeats of my heart. He kissed my skin with mahogany and wrapped my head in lamb's wool. In this past era, tribal warriors weren't led sheep-like to the slaughter. They lived in the land of elephants and battled the mighty lion, watched the Balboa century silhouette against the fiery beauty of glistening sunset. The red stain of slavery flowed freely from this continent as sisters and daughters were caught with clawing hands on bending knees from greed and cruelty, their eyes did bleed. Ships of crying cage cargo, the trailing human feast, as marine animals and sharks taste of men turned to beasts. They were squeezed through the foul watery canal of this middle passage that birthed them into a new existence of being less than a child of Adam. Taken through the ocean's tumultuous swell, this middle passage, they are saturated in digestive waste, emptied onto a strange land to begin their sentence in hell. The forced migration of my ancestors and kin, survivors of capture in the system of sin, the unending backbreaking work, the torture and experimentation, the murder, the mutilation, reduced peoples of many cultures into one population. Branded and labeled by the color of their skin, their history lost and forgotten. Yet these stolen tribes adapted and even thrived, sung songs of meaning in harsh cotton fields to the underground railroad is where some would steal. Slipping away under the cover of night, with fear in step beside them, they boldly took flight, risking death and capture again. One after one silent protester opened their homes to the most hated of men. The Underground Railroad wasn't under at all, but an upper ground of morality, the road to fairness and justice, an introduction to the end of this peculiar bondage. The uncivil civil war between brothers fighting North and South divided the United States. Angry men took up arms, focused on their convictions, eyes full of ideals. They killed and fought and battled in grave and dying fields. Descendants of kings stood tall, speaking their new language, ready to be equal in the reconstructing of America, given a voting voice and many citizen rights. Our forefathers flourished, but evil men devised another plan for the African locked inside the American on strange and bitter land. Separate but equal, Jim Crow laws were hastily passed. Newly freed compatriots felt betrayal and backlash. Hooded night riders appeared hanging and lynching. For everyone they murdered, for more was what they were wishing. The burnings, castrations, the skinning alive to elk out and annihilate this race of humankind. These earthbound souls are something to behold, even if the visage appears marred and eyes too old. A slow swelling of pressure begins to accumulate each day, and weeks turn into nights and months into years. Integration was on the way. Coloreds only and whites only no more. Civil rights was making way an open door. The youth rose up ready to fight. A new generation of brothers and sisters joined the great plight. For celebration of freedom, we must search deeper for the meaning. As integration stripped away, our community and culture on one another, have we begin to pray? For the habits imposed on us have left their mark. Now we hurt and sometimes kill without any guilt or thought. Sophisticated prejudice has spawned out of the old. The war of propaganda moves across the airwaves as the language of indifference slowly poisons. But new warriors are emerging with clear eyes undeceived. They seem small in number, but small is all we need. For we continue to flourish as evil men have devised another plan for the African locked inside the American on strange and bitter land.
Brenda, that was absolutely incredible. I mean, that was absolutely incredible. I mean, what was in you, Brenda? What did you need to, quote, spew? I mean, what? That was just so powerful. Talk a little bit about that piece, because the construction was beautiful.
Well, it's a long journey that we go through, I think, of self-discovery and recognizing, I grew up pretty much, in a military family. You know, we kind of, just very middle of the road, you know, very strict, you know, just very, I don't want to use the word passive, but I guess you don't want to make too much noise. And so, when I went to college, I started taking some Black history courses, and I was appalled at my own ignorance about my culture, about my history, about my people, all the stuff I realized I didn't know. And it seemed like the more I found out, the more I felt like I knew less. So that sort of made me look around and say, you know, I'm not trying to put anybody in my category, but I know I'm not by myself.
Right.
And I think we don't recognize, we look at our past as something to kind of like not talk about because of slavery. And rather than recognizing the great power and resiliency it took for, I'm talking about people who didn't know the language, who were half starved, who were psychologically tortured, who were beaten. Those were our ancestors. And,
yes, that is true.
And I'm saying that it, in my mind, I want to stand and make sure that I'm giving voice to that. And it's not about race or what a white man did or what a Black man did or anything. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about our history. I'm talking about our culture. Now, those things might be talked about as well, but that is not, that should never be a reason why we don't talk about where we came from. There is never any reason why we shouldn't talk about where we came from, where we shouldn't tell our children where we came from, where we shouldn't know our history. And, people might say, well, you know, other cultures, people, they don't know their history. And I'm not talking about them. I'm talking about African Americans.
Well,
so,
let me ask this question. Let me ask this question of the group. I mean, Brenda espoused a lot of doctrine in a positive way about the future and the past and what we need to do as people. Are there other thoughts from other callers?
I think that Brenda's poem is, you know, I'm glad that this is kind of a mixed audience. I would like it to be, you know, her to have maybe even more mixed audience and an audience of kids to learn.
Yes, I agree with that.
I hope this poem gets a really wide audience.
Yes. Others? Well, Brenda, I didn't mean to cut you off, but what you were saying was so beautiful. I mean, I would have listened to you all night, but because of the hour, we've got to keep going. But thank you so much for sharing. And like I said again, that was a magnificent work. What I'd like to do is take a short break. We'll be right back. We got some other callers on the line. This is the Power of Poetics. Please call in if you have an opportunity. We are back. I'd like to bring some more callers on the air. Area code 252. Are you there, area code 252?
Hello.
Yes. Your name?
This is Retta.
Oh, Retta.
And
all right.
How are you?
I'm quite good. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. First of all, let me congratulate you. Very good. Job well done.
Hold on. Let me bring the other callers in, too, all right? Hold on,
okay.
Please.
Okay.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Hold on. Area code 202, the first two letters are 24.
This is Sister Joy.
Hello, Sister Joy. How are you?
I'm doing very well, enjoying listening in. I wasn't sure if I was doing this thing properly, but definitely enjoyed the poetry that I've heard thus far, and what a wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Oh, fantastic. I'm so glad you're here. Here's one more. Oh, there's another one, too. Wow. Area code 410, you're on the air. The first letter is 9.
This is Cayenne, Miss Cayenne. How's everyone doing?
Hello, Miss Cayenne. Welcome. You're always invited here. This is your home.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Enjoy the show.
All right, we got one more.
I'm area code 7. Sorry.
Okay. A brother named Sly.
Yo, what's up, Michael?
What's up, man? How are you?
What's going on, man? I'm good. How you doing, bro?
I'm fantastic, man. I'm glad you're here. All right. Well, what I'd like to do, I'm sorry. Retta, you were in the middle of a conversation and I cut you off. I'm sorry.
That's quite all right. I was just saying how I wanted to congratulate you. I'm glad you're back on the air. Job well done. It's been amazing that you have had the opportunity to, first of all, invite so many talented people. I think that both Mary Ann and Brenda, was it? Those were dynamic pieces. I don't have that kind of talent, but I do love to hear, as a professional counselor, I do love to hear people speaking about empathy and what they, and I was so moved by Mary Ann's piece. I mean, the fact that she was able to put all that together as a result of seeing and feeling what she was feeling. Obviously, there was empathy there as well to be able to write that much as a result of walking through the wax museum. I must admit, I'm not going to rush out to see the display because of what she felt, but the fact that it evoked that much emotion from her makes me want to see it. But I thought that was dynamic. I also think that it's dynamic that you have, for the past 5 years, been able to work with the D.C. Poetry Project and hold this awesome organization together and to have lifted it up from the dirt, basically, and moved forward with all of the different types of ideas and all of the implementation of all the different activities that you've done. It's just awesome. I commend you.
Well,
and I'm just so appreciative of you having me on the board. I'm just really happy to be a part of this. I wish I could be more of a part by writing some spectacular poems, as some others I've heard as I've listened in from time to time. So I just wanted to say keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you very, very much. Dr. Retta Brown, she's a member of our board. Again, we are a nonprofit as well, so we try to do great things, try to do good things that empower people. That's the goal, to empower through poetry. All right. Sister Joy, Fly, any comments before we keep going? This is an expanded edition of our show tonight, so just settle in. Any comments at all?
This is Sister Joy, and I'm just listening to see what type of poetry is shared. Who knows? I may get inspired to pick up a pen. That's what happens when you hear great poetry, at least for me. But I already appreciate what I've heard, and just really am pleased to be a part of the group tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. My buddy Sly, any words, man?
I'm just calling in because, you know, you've said on the case I've called in, so just me calling.
All right. Well, fantastic. Well, as I share with everyone, our program is international, and we have representation from countries all over the world. So what I'd like to do is to follow up Brenda's poem with a piece that was written by Mandisa Mobutu from Zimbabwe. Mandisa, are you there? Yes, she's there.
I used to wear tattered chucks and my socks didn't match. But I knew where I was going, I had things to do. I used to unleash my afro on a sunny day, and my shiniest accessory was the Vaseline on my smile. But I felt like I looked like an African queen, so I treated myself like I was living that dream. But now the chucks have been replaced by red Manolo heels, and the smile has given way to a golden shimmer by L'Oreal that doesn't come off when you kiss. But I didn't fit into these shoes till I had nothing to lose. I used to know the subtle difference between maybe and maybe not. Now I don't trust the other voice and it gets louder till I can't hear the sound of love in its entirety like I did way back when my heart lived in a tape deck because the men in my life were Pac and Peter Tosh. But that's when I had everything to lose and I didn't fit into these shoes. That's when I used to give up myself in a good conversation. That's before good conversations were $5 at happy hour. Happy hours, dance floors, headaches, remedies, heartaches. I must have lost my mind that night I spent bent over and panting at the back of the club in search of real love. Wearing these shoes down to size till they fitted and oh, some Cinderella I became, cause I didn't always talk to fairies or kiss the princes at the ball. I used to stay home on Friday nights because my prince had said he'd call. Now it doesn't hurt to walk in these shoes anymore or these jeans that I sucked myself into so tight. There's no room for pride or underwear unless I take them off. But I didn't fit into these shoes till I had nothing to lose. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. That was Mandisa Mobutu. Are you still there, everybody?
Yeah. All right.
Kyan, I'm sorry. I didn't ask you, did you have anything that you wanted to share, just in terms of the show in general?
I just concur with all that I've heard so far. That is an awesome work that the D.C. Poetry Project is doing just to afford this opportunity and to give voice to poets and all over the world, if you will. And as usual, just happy to be a part of such a great conglomerate of artists and writers. You guys inspire me all the time, so just happy to be a part.
Hey, you're fantastic. So what we're going to do is take a little break, and we're going to come back and open up the lines again for people to share. So hold on one moment. The breaks are very short. We are back with the Power Poetics. My name is Michael Anthony Ingram. Our call-in number is 646-716-8754. Again, we have a number of callers on the line. Gary, would you like to share?
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
Gary Malone
like
from Alabama. All right.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I just wrote this piece today, really. It's called Greater Is He, and I wrote it to share at a men's conference that I'm plan to attend if they ask me to speak. And so I'm planning to share this piece. It's called Greater Is He, and that's the name of the conference, Greater Is He. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Attention, my brothers. Far too many atoms are settling to being reduced to tiny, defeated particles of angry atoms or pitiful, prideful anatomy suffering from atrocious abnormalities, forgetting their mold from the most plentiful substrate on earth, rich black topsoil, worth more valuable than gold saturated in dirt. Earthen vessels of clay filled with buried treasures that should be on a hilltop shining like greater than he. Yet they are harboring hidden addictions, beaten up by pain, anger, hurt, and past regrets. Now burdened barriers, burdened down and buried under a mountain of debt, owed to their forsaken seeds and the carrier of life, their praying mothers and grandmothers, their supportful sisters, or their faithful wife. Abandoned at home, throneless kings have abdicated their royal responsibilities and forced lonely students to study alone, no assistance from a positive mentor. Unemployed or the four-year degree can't pay the student loans, mortgage or rent, behind on child support, stressed and perplexed, fist grips pocket lined with lint that was just recently handcuffed, released from the steel belly of the beast, outlook bleak, no paycheck, cold eyes stares at a blank reality, broken relationship, failed marriages and rebellious children, terrorists and police brutality, and other daily threats to survival of the fittest. In a world filled with imps on the prowl, armed with tricks and treats, curvy, sexy temptations ready to satisfy the pride of life, lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes that's coyly greater than himself. Feeling washed up with a laundry list of issues, life keep on issuing. Tricky, happy fingers are dangerously playing Russian roulette, gambling the very essence of their soul with the enemy. Gentlemen, have we become so weak, so gentle, weak, fragile, and broken that we have forgotten who we are and whose we are? Have we lost the way to what it means to be a man and helping others to become a man? Foolishly devoid of hope and having overused the worn-out excuse, but Lord, you know my heart. No man is perfect. Lord, you know I'm weak. But excuse me, brother, I'm just trying to be my brother's keeper. Because in this race, having realized we all had a propensity to sin, yet we also have the victory to win, power granted to us by our risen Savior, because greater is he that is in you. Greater than David that slayed Goliath. Greater than Samson. But hold up, what about Bathsheba and Delilah? Our natural weaknesses. Are you not greater than them? See, Joseph was greater than the pit he was thrown in. And Pharaoh's army may have been greater than Moses. The lions may have been greater than Daniel. The great whale may have been greater than Jonah. The fiery furnace hotter and greater than Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. However, neither Pharaoh's army, the lions, the whale, or the fiery furnace was greater than their holy companion. So you are of God, and you have overcome them. Because greater is he. You are more than a conqueror. You are more than a champion. You are greater than the enemy, the prince of darkness. You are greater than your death and greater than your strongest weaknesses. Brothers, nothing you have done is too great that you can't be forgiven. So you are of God, and greater is he. Greater is his mercy and grace. Greater is his understanding, his wisdom, and his power. Greater is his joy, and greater is his love and peace. All the fruit of his spirit that is within you makes you greater like he.
Gary, that was fantastic. Just need to breathe that in for a second. Greater is he. You know, many of your works, Gary, and actually Gary is one of our favorite people who called in. He's a fantastic poet, and he was featured a number of months ago on this show. So many of your works, Gary, have a spiritual bent, a spiritual basis. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, being that I'm a spiritual brother myself, you know, I'm a child of God, a God-fearing man, and just the root of who I am, and just giving all homage to who's given me my gift. So I pay that back by just glorifying him with what he's given me. You know, I try to write from a positive perspective, and I always try to put a positive twist on all the things that I write. As you know, the poem may have been started off with kind of like a little, you know, dark, but I still left I hope I left the brothers with hope, you know, and that's what I should choose to do with my writing, is to give people hope and encouragement, but yet still touch those issues that speak the truth, you know, and shed light on those things, you know, that the issues that we are facing with the police brutalities, you know, even now with these the targeting the cops, you know, I'm planning to write on that, but it's all the issues, and so I just always just try to talk about those things, but also try to be encouraging, empowering, enlightening, and educate those that in the grips of mine.
Wow.
Thank you for letting me share.
Oh, thank you. Any comments from others on the line?
That was a great poem.
What made it great? What made it great? You know how I am. If you say it's great, you need to say what made it great.
I'm sorry, this is Deesh. I was the actual 703 that you mentioned earlier. I apologize.
Oh, not a problem. All right, great.
I mean, everything about it, I was just listening to it and just sort of relating to it. And the poem, if I do have an opportunity to share, there was just something in there that I thought about in his that was sort of possibly similar to something that I was going to mention. So I really appreciate that poem that you just did. I really do.
Okay, your name again?
I'm Deesh, D-E-S-H.
Deesh. Oh, right. Okay, great. You're a member of the D.C. Poetry Project, I believe. Am I correct?
I was a 703, yes.
Yes, all right. But you're in the D.C. Poetry Project, if I'm correct.
Correct.
Yeah, all right. Anybody else? Because I got a fantastic poem that I'd like to share with you. And it's a fantastic poem. Can I do that? Can I share this poem real quick?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. It's by a young woman. I heard it today, and I had to have it on this show. Her name is Chicondria, and Chicondria Icon Sibley. And she recited this poem during the 2012 National Poetry Slam Championship, and she's a member of the Slam New Orleans, the SNO. Listen to this.
Whenever someone asks me the meaning of my name, I usually never have an answer. I remember looking for it once in a shopping mall kiosk where the meanings of names are engraved into keepsakes, thinking all the while the chances of me finding mine would be like the odds of winning the sweepstakes. Tired of people mispronouncing it, I shortened it to Con, but they still got it wrong. They have confused me with the lady who once sang that song, "Tell me something good," and tell them something I feel I should so I correct them. It's pronounced Sha-Con-Dri-A. No silent letters, no accents. Preferably pronounced with the drawl of a southern accent. I remember that once was a day when I wish my mother would have stuck to something simple and pretty and majestic like Tiffany or maybe even Alexis, but my fate was sealed by signatures on my birth certificate granting me the right to forever bear the shame of having been given a ghetto-ass name. So this here poem is for all the little black girls with big names. For the Shas and Ishas, the Anas and Equas, who were told never to write their names on applications. Because we live in a nation where your name can tell someone your race or even your social status. Because they think only dumb ghetto folk overuse the alphabet. They chalk it up to illiteracy, never creativity, or maybe even history. And I wonder if those who assume would ever stop to think that maybe transatlantic submerged native tongues have reemerged in the form of ghetto monikers. Like my little cousin, whose name is Tanisha, sounds a lot like Tinashe, a name from the Shona tribe, meaning God is with us. Or my friend Lakisha, whose name sounds a lot like the Bantu name Wakisa. Or maybe like me. My mother knew that I would be a fighter, so she named me Chicondria, which sounds a lot like Shaka, the great Zulu warrior. See, this here poem is for every daughter who ever became a professional only to shorten her name to a letter and a period just so phone calls could be returned or higher pay earned, because we all know don't nobody want an Isha or an equal to operate on them. But you see, a book can't be judged by its cover nor its title, and the story beneath your name can't be contained beneath the tide. So sisters, let them rise and take the rightful places on your applications and business cards, desk placards, and uniforms until one day ghetto-ass names become the norm. But for right now, we're special, you see, and there ain't another girl in the world with a name like you or me. So go forth and rep proudly for all the ghetto named girls. And if someone happens to mispronounce your name, make sure you give the neck a swirl, look them dead in the eye, and correct them. It's pronounced Sha-Con-Dri-A. Say it right or don't say it at all.
All right. Now, that's very powerful. That was the title is To All the Little Black Girls with Big Names. To All the Little Black Girls with Big Names. Wow. Any comments on what you heard?
Awesome. I think
talk about it,
I'm
please.
Sorry.
Please talk about it.
I couldn't quite understand all of it, but as I listened to her with the excitement and the vigor in her voice, initially I thought, wow, she's angry about her ghetto name. But then the irony in it is she recognized it as a big name, not to mention the fact that she's taking her name and she's making it popular. The same name that she's saying should not be on the applications, should not be spoken in public. She's making that name and putting it on a billboard almost. So I just think that was dynamic. It was powerful. I really like that.
All right. Anyone else?
I really enjoyed it too.
All right.
Definitely.
Now, who is this?
This is Brenda.
Brenda. Okay, Brenda. All right. Why did you enjoy it?
Well, you know, I just love the movement that we are having more and more in society to just being unapologetic for who we are, and I'm just not necessarily talking about, you know, an African American, I'm talking about, you know, whether it's a woman or a man or you know, whether it's somebody who's old or young, it's like, this is who I am, and you know, I'm not trying to apologize for it. I'm not trying to say I'm sorry for the presence present. And so that poem to me is just resonates with sort of that unspoken movement that, you know, you see more and more. You know, I think about people who I had a friend when I was younger. She had freckles all over her face, and she hated it, and she always wanted to wear makeup and cover them up. And it's like, you know, this is who I am. And this is, you know, this is my name. This is who I am. This is my hair. This is my freckles. This is my age. This is my gender or whatever. So to me, her voice, it was powerful, you know, and I just love it because anytime people, let me not even say it like that, but often, people will mistake passion for anger.
Uh-huh.
And they're like, what are you so angry about? And it's like, I'm not even mad, you know.
That's
so I did appreciate the comment that was made, you know, the previous comments were saying, you know, at first I thought she was angry. And, you know, it just unapologetic for how I feel, you know, if I feel like crying or laughing or something like that. So I appreciated that piece.
Right.
Thanks for sharing it.
Oh, yes. We've got some other, unless there's some more comments, we've got some other people on the line. Wow, this is a great night. All right.
Yes. Yeah.
It is. Area code 207, you're on the air.
Hello, Michael. This is Valerie Beers from Maine.
Valerie. Valerie is in the house from the state of Maine. Well, she was featured on our show as well as Brenda. They're both featured on our show as poets. So, again, it's good to hear your voice, Valerie. Let's bring some more people on here.
Nice to be here.
All right. Area code 571.
As far as what?
Excuse me?
Oh, I mean, I haven't been working on no poems or anything like that. I haven't been working on
no poems. You didn't know it was going to be poetry?
I mean, music-wise.
Well, just listen in. Just listen. Keep listening. Okay, hold on. Area code 858. The first number is 2. You're on the air.
Hello, this is Coffee Girl. I just had and I call in again. I'm enjoying everything. Thank you very much, everybody.
All
sharing
right.
And thank you much for bringing
all right.
Me.
All
thank
right.
You.
All right. There's some voices on the air. We've got Dish. We've got Cayenne. Miss Cayenne, we've got Sly. And if there's anyone else, I'm sorry. Would any of you like to share?
Sure, I can share a piece. This is Miss Cayenne.
All right,
can
please.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great. I do have a comment for the last piece for all the African American, for all the black girls with big names. I could relate. My name is Dinah Cayenne Thomas, and I often felt some kind of way about my name. I've always loved my name, but it's something that comes out of the creativity of my mother and didn't seem to fit well. And so listening to her poem just re-energized my own pride in a name, but also kind of challenged me because I can find myself turning up my nose at certain names that sound what we call ghetto. But it was a nice strength-based approach to being unapologetic, as Brenda stated. So I really did enjoy the last poem. The piece, I called in, and I was just ready to just listen and enjoy. And I'm sitting at my dining room table, and on my table is a book, the International Who's Who in Poetry, published by, I guess, Poetry.com. And this is 2004. I had a piece that was published there, and I said, "Oh, how ironic and convenient!"
Right.
So I thought sure. I'd share this piece. It's called Jamaica. I took a trip. This is probably one of the first trips I've gone out of the States on a vacation, and I had a blast. And this was a piece that was inspired from that time. I also have a preempted statement. It's called Jamaica to all the young black girls who questioned their beauty. It was here in this place I recognized the beauty of my blackness, not because of what he said, but because of what he said, capital H. It was right here I found the light and the reflection of my face. It was here in this place I enjoyed the contrast of a white towel against my black skin after a hot shower. I am black but comely. It was here, in this place, I could see on me what I struggled to see before, beauty. A garment I deemed too big for my frail black bones, too classy for my mud-brown skin. It was here, in this place, I came to appreciate the deep richness of my earthen vessel. Here, I grew to love me. Yes, here I learned to love being black. Here I rediscovered the advantage of my womanhood. Here. Right here, in this place, I came to accept my white robe of beauty.
Wow. Cayenne, what was happening in 2004 that allowed you to create such a beautiful work?
You know, I was on vacation, and I went to Jamaica. Never been there before. I had gone to Jamaica, and subsequently I've gone to Africa several times, but at that time it was my first time out of the country. And being in a place where I was surrounded by people who looked like me and were all beautiful, and I didn't have to feel odd. And it's an experience that I don't have currently, but I know it very well. Being a dark-skinned black girl growing up at one point in the Midwest and then other places in southern Maryland, just being a dark-skinned girl and not really having that connection, being like a lot like Brenda, getting to college to really understand culture, my own background and things like that. So just being very different. My father is Ghanaian and my mother is African-American, so I stood out wherever I went just by my features. And as a kid, you don't always understand that, or you can't take, you know, did not have that pride or whatever that, you know, we have now. And being in a place where people looked like me and there was no, you know, ooh, you're dark, or ooh, you're this, it was just beauty all around. I was able for the first time as an adult, I guess, to really embrace my skin literally and figuratively. So for me, it spoke to self-esteem. It spoke to self-worth and just acknowledging your differences as beauty and being, again, as we've been saying throughout the night, unapologetic. So that was just a personal awakening, but realizing that I'm not alone, I wasn't alone in that, in an experience of feeling odd and things like that, for simple things of skin tones, even within your own culture, you know, there's sometimes colorism and things like that. So it was just a, it was just an introspective experience and moment that I decided to write about, and call it, you know. Right.
You know, I think one of the themes tonight is the importance of reclaiming self.
Yeah.
Reclaiming self.
Yep.
I think that's a very important thing to think of. I mean, for in any situation, to be able to feel good about yourself, and sometimes that is so difficult given the world in which we live. The daily vicissitudes of life can cause so much pain, so much struggle, so much strife, so much anxiety. And again, maybe I'm talking about myself, but it can cause those things, and you constantly, for me, wonder why. You know, so to have a way to express yourself, to let those things out, I believe is critical.
Yeah.
You know, as I listened to Cayenne, one of the things that I felt and one of the things that I want to say to her is that I'm glad she had the opportunity to fall in love with herself and to continue to love herself. It's so easy for us to fall in love with an individual, and then at some given time that individual may be gone or the love we had for them may be gone, but to experience that and fall in love with yourself, you're going to always be with you. That's
right.
Is the statement of the night. You're going to always be with you, whether you want to or not.
You're going to always
be with you.
Yeah.
Now, Cayenne, what page was that on? You said it was the International Who's Who in Poetry?
Yes, International Who's Who in Poetry. It's in page 3. It's at the beginning of this edition. It's a 2004 publishing from poetry.com. They published, you know, an anthology of collections of people's poetry, and I was included in that, and it's on page 3.
Okay.
Congratulations.
They had a couple of editions, because I also was in the International Who's Who in Poetry in 2004. I was like, I wonder if we're in the same book. But,
That's so funny, but we're not.
They probably, you know, printed. They probably had so many entries and different things like that. But I did enjoy that poem very much. I've heard people, so many people, say the very same thing that you said, whether they've gone to Jamaica or, you know, one of the countries in Africa that, you know, they just were talking about how you really don't realize what it's like until you actually experience. So I thought
you brought that out very nicely. Right.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do, any other comments, please? Was that you, Gary?
I just love that poem, Cayenne.
Hi, Marianne. Thank you.
What do you love about it? What do you love about it? You know how I am. I got to know. What do you love about it?
I loved that it was about self-acceptance and, you know, also the details of, you know, your skin and the towel and, you know, so that it was more, you know, it was more than an argument.
Right.
It was more than a diary entry. You know, it was a poem. It had a beginning, middle, and end.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Thank you.
Well, everyone,
welcome.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back with the Power of Poetics. Again, the call-in number is 646-716-8754. I'd like to thank all of the people who are on the line tonight, and hopefully we get to everyone. We hope everyone is inspired to share something, but we'll be right back. We are back. You know, part of accepting self, part of reclaiming self, is being able to express yourself in your native tongue.
not feeling as if you need to change your tongue to fit somebody else's way of being. Now, again, tonight we're really pleased to have with us individuals from around the world who'd like to share their work. This is Unjock from Sweden.
Igen, az énnek is van vége. Sőt, a minek is van vége, főleg szakításokkor. Azért született ez a vers, az Apostrophea című. Tehát Apostrophea. Mit kaptál, nem a jellemem. Külcsíny vagyok, semmi más. Csak te hitted, hogy kell legyen a lét mögött identitás. Nem számoltál a többivel, bár formában nincsen hiány, hogy vagyok, még nem tölti fel Kongó egzisztenciám. Békülni nem volt hova, nem lehettem egyszerre a fájás kiváltó oka s önnön hazug gyógyszere. Hogy szeretlek, csak nyers nyelvtan, s ki üres, részed nem lehet. Semmim sincs, hát velem van az, hogy elengedtelek. És akkor még egy rövidet így a végére, mert ez így egybefügg. Omázs a Pinocchio-nak. Ne hagyj így darabokba az éjjel lapszabászat. Már túráztatja tompa körfűrészét a bánat. Végleg lemorzsolódok, minden perc egy szálka. Már nincs velem a dolgok régi viszkozitása. Csak fásulok itt riftig, míg az ablakban a git kötögeti, mint mindig gumi pulóvereit. Szét hullok, mint a farost, ne nézd őszüreg arcom. Várom a hajnalt, kisiparost, hogy összeragasszom.
That was Unjock from Sweden. Now again, he's not here. But what I'd like to do is to recite the translation. It has no name. The first line is Abba, miscellaneous, Waterloo. Yes, yes, at Waterloo, Napoleon did surrender. But, their fate can meet so many different ways. Personally, I feel, since I met you, history repeats itself. Waterloo, I was defeated. I, Waterloo, promised pleasure of loving you. Waterloo, right, and it is my belief. Waterloo, knowing my fate, my Waterloo. Wah, wah, Waterloo, knowing my fate, my Waterloo. Yes, yes, you are fighting and fencing up the longest time. But, towards the fight, and the man said, it's like I heard a song. I believe it's love at once. Waterloo, so hath found her match, Waterloo, powerful and mighty and strong is he, Waterloo, right, and it is my belief, Waterloo, knowing my fate, my Waterloo, while Waterloo, knowing my fate, my Waterloo, it's like I heard a song, I believe his love at once, Waterloo. So have found her match. Waterloo, making and mighty and strong is he. Waterloo, right, and is my belief. Waterloo, knowing my fate. Waterloo, while Waterloo, knowing my fate, my Waterloo. All right, that was a translation of that piece. So if he was here, what I would have asked him to do again is to share his work in his native tongue. I wouldn't care about a translation. I don't care about that. What I care about is providing an opportunity through the power of poetry to whatever form that we create for people to have the opportunity to lift their voice and share their story, their lived experience. I don't care if the whole program is in Spanish as if we tried to do several years ago. Share your truth. All right, good people. Any comments on that particular piece by Unjock?
I'm very interested in that. That was
right,
really cool.
Well, what I can do is share some of the links that
Mike.
I found.
How did you meet him, Michael?
Well, actually, I didn't. I found him online. I didn't have time to meet him.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
So, so what
it's
I
really
mean,
good though. I really like that piece.
Oh, right, it was beautiful. All right. All right, some of the calls.
That was pretty funny, too.
Try to lighten it up a little bit. All right.
I like that.
Right, all right, trying to lighten it up. So we've got Sister Joy, we've got a brother named Sly, we've got Valerie, we've got this who's been here a while. Would you like to share a piece?
Me?
Dish. Dish, I'm so sorry.
I love your name, Dish.
Would you like to share, Dish?
I can.
Yes, please do.
Okay, well, it's going to be actually something different. I was going to do one, but now I'll do something completely different. So give me just a second to pull it back up here.
All right.
Okay, so this is actually called The Road Less Traveled. And this is, you know, I write poetry, you know, just based on certain life experiences. You know, I'm inspired by anything. You know, I like to sit at, like, the waterfront. I like water. So anything that really honestly comes to me in the moment, I just go ahead and let the words flow from there. So I don't have a particular genre that I write about. I just let the words flow from there.
Fantastic.
Okay. All right. So, The Road Less Traveled. There comes a time in everyone's life when things don't go as planned. Worry creeps in, doubt begins. We wonder how much pain we have to stand. A day late and a dollar short. An eviction notice waiting on your door. The repo man comes to take your car. You're counting the pennies from your emergency jar. If it's not one thing, it's the next. You're so tired and worn out, you're not getting any rest. We all face struggles in our daily life. Yes, wouldn't it be easier without any strife? But when things are going wrong, they're actually going right. And the blessing that's coming from all of it is well worth the fight. We just have to put things in perspective in hindsight and trust that all of it is a part of God's love and light. The road less traveled is not always the easy one. But if you never take any risks, you're never going to have any fun. Life is meant to be lived, regardless of the twists and turns. If things keep showing up in your life, it's because there's a lesson you haven't learned. Go down the road less traveled. It's an adventure you need to see. You'll be amazed at how much you grow and how fulfilling your life can be. If you're only willing to do what's easy, then life will probably be hard. But why settle for less than the best when God made you to be a star? So stand strong in the midst of gray. Always take time to pray. And remember to keep the faith. The road less traveled is a divine way.
Wow. The road less traveled. Talk again about your inspiration. I mean, that was beautiful, especially to take the title, Robert Frost's poem, and you know, do your own poem. I mean, I like that. Your version.
Thank you. You know, like I said, everyone goes through life. Life happens to all of us. And, you know, just even experiencing and witnessing and hearing stories from other people, you know, it I guess all of that together just kind of led me, I was inspired to really write that. So a lot of people more recently seem to, I don't want to say are being discouraged, but, you know, just need some encouragement because, as I said, we all know that life happens to everyone. So that pretty much came from a, kind of a collaboration of all of that, a combination of all of that.
All right. Any comments from the group? All right.
Perfect. Very encouraging. I loved it. Mm. And the rhyme scheme. You encouraged me and it rhymed. I loved it.
Right. But Valerie, since you're so hyped, you're on.
I'm on. I
yes.
can read something?
Yes, of course you do. You cannot
right.
come on this show
all
and
right.
not read
yes,
something.
Yes, yes. All right. Oh, this is something I wrote back in July. I was going to say back in summer. It's still summer. But this is called, I hope you can hear that. Okay, this is called Tricky Gamer. It's and the prompt was because I've just seen a movie. It's about making a video game. So that's what I was writing about, making a video game. Okay, it's called Tricky Game. I want to make a tricky game with you. One we can both play. Do you like Thai food? I want to nestle in your bosom, hearing the rain, pitter-patter on the windowsill. The end.
You said the end?
Valerie.
I did.
Valerie.
I've been trained to say the end.
Yes, yes. I always like you to
Michael
read it twice.
Michael trained me.
Read it twice, Valerie. So everybody can soak it in. You need it twice so you can soak it in. All right, Val, read it again.
Okay. Tricky game. I want to make a tricky game with you. One we can both play. Do you like Thai food? I want to nestle in your bosom, hearing the rain pitter-patter on the windowsill. The end.
All right. Comments. For Valerie. Her poems are always short and quick and to the point. That's why I love Valerie. Is that a parrot, Valerie? Is that a parrot? All right. Any comments for Valerie?
I'm interested to know your, I know you mentioned the gaming, the TV show about making games and video games, but I'm curious to know your, you know, more thought behind, your thoughts behind constructing that piece. What were your thoughts and or inspiration?
I was inspired by a lot of video games because
okay.
I've played, I don't want to tell you how old I am, but I've played a lot of video games, and then we went to see a movie about a video game. Just that was the inspiration for that. What was that?
Sounds like a parrot. Is that your parrot?
No.
Okay.
Was that you?
No, I think actually
no,
it's my cat.
It's
a cat. I have
a
phone on speakerphone because for various reasons. And you know, Thelma,
well, maybe
Thelma
the cat
stopped
in the head.
By.
All right, then. All right. Sly. You still there, Sly?
Oh, hey, what's up, Michael?
All right. Would you like to share
no,
a piece of your poetry?
Okay. Okay. All right, hold on. Let me put this phone call on mute, man. Wait a minute.
All right.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let me see if I can find something real quick.
You know, I know you're thinking this.
Ain't nobody got time for that. Ain't nobody got time for that.
You're wilding, man.
Oh, boy.
Crazy. I'm dying.
If you don't have
so
fun with it, it's not worth doing if you don't have fun with it. All right.
Yes.
I can dig that.
All right.
Three.
Okay. Let me see. This it's called Abandonment. Let's see. It's breaking up with someone, like writing a poem. In the beginning, surges of inspiration course through veins. Illuminating with a pen. You make love to paper like you'll never write again. Fervently writing metaphors and symbols as if you burn the English language. Once you fill the page and the solution wears off, you start the editing process, compromising and sacrificing words for the sake of coherent stanzas. You argue with lines often, wishing you write as well as the next poet. The words fill your doubt and begin to betray you, turning phrases into deliberate cliches. You scribble over everything you've built, acknowledging the two of you need time apart. You revisit often until you both come to the conclusion that you're done. But like Paul Valerie, you never really finish. You just want to stay silent and abandoned until the next poem comes along.
Now, Sly, there was a lot of interference. Did anyone else hear it?
Yes, I heard.
I heard a lot of interference, too.
Yes, yes. Would you mind sharing it again and maybe moving on the other side of the room?
Okay.
Yeah, because it's kind of breaking up.
It's too beautiful for you not to share it again, but.
Okay, can you hear me?
No.
It's still breaking up, my friend. Still breaking up.
Can't hear me yet?
Not really. You'll have to wait till a half and half, my friend.
Your voice is going in and out.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I'm on Skype, so I'm not like really on blog.
Oh,
so
okay.
I'm doing it from Skype.
Oh, okay.
All right then. Well, Sly is a wonderful poet.
I'm trying to do two things at once.
That's all right. Hey, Skype is the way of the world. So Sly is a fantastic poet, and his work is always well received wherever he goes. So is there someone out there, I mean, before we go around again, who'd like to share that I did not call on? Actually, there's only one person. All right, then. What I'd like to do, I'd like you to hear a piece that I found that I found. Sister Joy?
Yes.
Would you like to share?
Yes, I do have a piece I'd like to share.
Oh, fantastic. Please do so.
Okay. I'll take you off speaker, so hopefully it won't be a problem hearing. The poem is titled Firstborn, and it's not that long a poem, but Firstborn. You are the one who is connected to me most, taught in ways untried by the practice of motherhood. With faltered footsteps, I fought to keep upright, despite snares, scares, and blows by foes to dignity and faith. Even yet, no victor claims my undoing. I know well the ways and shadows of your fears, for they too have tried to deny my tomorrow's sunshine, sought to erase rainbows following the storms I've survived. Though they plowed the peace you seek, understand the power within you, that which was given you before any other, the power of pure and divine might. Among siblings, there can only be one first. All that follow may only claim.
Sister Joy, you still there? Okay.
Yes. Right. I apologize.
Oh, no, not a problem. Would you like to share it again, if you like?
I was trying to finish it, and all of a sudden I choked.
Okay. All right, then.
So.
All right.
I will attempt to finish it.
All right.
Okay, I'll pick up. Among siblings, there can be only one first. All that follow may only claim echo to your soul. For destiny held till later, seats and needs suited to follow your lead. This bond we share is strong and can withstand forces that have long sought to sever what was designed to last forever. Reach inside the passion that you so guardedly hold in check. Find the power to not merely survive, but thrive. Drive anger and fear from your spirit. Hear the rise of your own heartbeat pounding inside, drowning doubt and distrust.
I invite you to climb to that elusive plateau where you meet and master your own tomorrows. Unchampioned strength awaits your call, for just as you have challenged, so shall you have victory. Just as you dream, so shall you yet paths that will create goodness, no, greatness, in the world. For you are my strongest and best seed, the one, the only one, called firstborn.
Well, firstborn.
Yes. I so apologize that I got choked literally midway through.
Please don't. Please don't. As you think about your inspiration, I'm sure it was your firstborn, but I mean to put the piece together like that, kind of talk about what was going through your mind at that particular time, because it was very powerful.
Well, at the time that I was writing the poem, I thought I was writing strictly for my child, my firstborn. In the process of writing it, it occurred to me that this had a universal appeal because undoubtedly there are many who feel that way about their first child. In this instance, I was attempting to encourage my child through a difficult time. So I was attempting to evoke messages of empowerment. Whether it's really a mother or a father didn't matter. It was about trying to give something to your child that no one else could give them. And that was what I was trying to convey.
All right, beautiful. Comments?
Just, wow.
What made
I'm
it a
sorry,
while
I'm an only child now. That was great. I immediately latched onto it. I love it. And it made me think of the poem that I wrote about my child, my firstborn. Really great stuff. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Right,
don't worry about the coughing at all. Don't worry.
No.
When I first heard that poem, as you was reading it, at first I really thought the firstborn was an analogy for your soul until you started talking about the part about the siblings. I really
right.
thought you were using a metaphor.
Yeah.
Then when you explained it, it did make sense where you were saying you were trying to encourage your firstborn. But I think that poem can be looked at different ways. You know, like I said, put it back to your original intent when you started talking about the siblings. But at first, I thought you were talking about a metaphor for your own soul.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. I'll look at it through those eyes.
Wow.
I especially like the ending to the poem. I think, it was very inspiring.
Thank you.
Wow. Well, everyone, we'll take a little short break here, and again, as you know, our breaks are very short, and we'll be right back with the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show. Again, we're live around the world, so we'll be right back. Good evening again, Michael Anthony Ingram with an incredible group of people tonight. I mean, this is a great way to start the new season. Hopefully you guys will come back. I mean, this has been fantastic. You know, there's so much happening in the world. There's always a new scapegoat. What do you think about that statement? There's always a new scapegoat.
There is.
Always a new one.
Absolutely
always
true.
Say that one more time.
That's absolutely true. That is a
yes.
true statement.
But what I'd like to do is to play a piece by a woman. Her name is Amal Ahmed Abbas, and it's a poem about Islam.
Let me introduce myself. My name is Islam, the root word of peace, salam, or even salima, meaning submission, which to a Muslim is like his tuition. It's his ticket in. But before I begin, let me greet you like I'm supposed to do. So, assalamu alaikum, may peace be upon you. You know, it's kind of funny. I'm accused of oppressing when really I'm oppressed. I've become on the list of things to detest. I'm screamed in rage in almost every protest, and I've become the Red Scare, a threat to the West. You see, if you look at me and all my obligations, you'll see why I have such a great population. It's because there is that motivation and that sense of inspiration that keeps Muslim as their occupation. To me, being a good Muslim means being a good person, because I'll never ask you to kill or to slay or to lie at least 5 times a day. I'll never ask you to steal or to hate or to swear or discriminate. I actually tell you to smile to everyone you see, because a smile is the best form of charity. I tell you not to smoke and not to drink, to stay clean and take showers so you simply don't stink. I tell you to care for animals and treat them with care. So yes, I'm against animal testing and abuse, in case you weren't aware. I tell you to treat those who treat you bitter, better. I tell you to not be mad at someone for more than 3 days. I tell you to respect women and lower your gaze. I tell you that paradise lies under the feet of your mother. I tell you to passionately love your significant other. I tell you to never mistreat your wife. I mean, if I tell you to care for animals, then what about the love of your life? I tell you to be precious and save yourself for the one, so you don't keep giving yourself away till you're literally done. I tell you to be moderate and that balance is key. Just in the middle is the perfect place to be. I tell you to excel in all that you do, from that essay to that slam dunk too. I tell you to clear your ignorance and to never judge, to love for your bro what you love for yourself, and to never hold a grudge. I tell you how to be a good person, a person of peace and a person of love. And they say I'm a terrorist and extremist, and you know what? I am. I am a terrorist. I terrorize terror. I kill injustice to make this world fairer. I am an extremist. I am extremely kind. So beware of my extreme benevolence to all of mankind. Yes, there are those who kill and bomb in my name. But if I don't approve, then why am I to be blamed? In every religion, you'll find those who abuse it, thinking they have a permit to do wrong. A religion may be perfect, but the followers may not be. So when mine commit mistakes, don't blame it on me. I give what I got, and what I got is good. So if they do otherwise, they misunderstood. And I'm not here to preach, I'm only here to teach. I'm a professor in politics, economy, and sociology. In manners and etiquette, I got my PhD. To all my teachings, I have 2 sources. The Book of God and the words of the Prophet are my resources. I teach for free and to whoever desires to learn. It's all for the sake of Allah. I ask for nothing in return. And listen, I'm not here to convert, but just to clear misconceptions with the way I'm viewed and my common perception. Because yes, it hurts when I'm literally abused by some who do it for pleasure just to be amused, and by some who just follow the trend because they're clearly confused. In a nutshell, my name is Islam.
Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1-170-2. Welcome to Verizon Wireless. The wireless customer you called is not available at this time. Please try your call again later. Announcement 1-170-2.
All right. Well, I think that was a very, very powerful piece.
Wow.
And it kind of encapsulates what we've been talking about tonight, reclaiming self, from oppression. Everybody, comments?
That was a great piece. Covers everything about humanity, really.
Yes. Well, Kobe,
I guess, what humanity should be, not just about it.
I think, everyone, we've reached that the end of our time. I want to thank you all for being with us tonight. Power Poetics. I want to thank you again. Take care. Be blessed. Until next week, the Power Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic calling show. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
All right.